let's say all the facts are ranked from one being the best, fifth being the least best, right? So it's simple. Your question has to elicit fact one first, then three, then five, then four, and then two. One, three, five, because it's the least effective fact you have, and you sandwich it now between the two next best effective facts you have, and one and two, are you begin and end with the best facts you've got. One starts it, two closes it. If they don't hear anything else, they hear those two facts. You got five facts. That witness says those things, get them off the stand. Because my favorite phrase to people who are doing trial work is, witnesses can only help you when they're talking, and they can only hurt you when they're talking. Nobody's paying you for 50-50 odds. They at least like you to be around 75 or 80 when you're trying to pull the witness on the stand. And if 50-50 is all you can do when they're talking, then the idea is to have them talk just enough for them to get off the stand as quickly as possible. I learned this lesson the hard way. I was trying a case in Houston, federal court, and I was listening, and so I thought I had done a really good job. The guy didn't cross much, so I'm going to, gild the lily. So, in essence, what are you... And as soon as that happened, all the other questions came out. All the ones that I didn't get, that I didn't hear the first time, I heard the second time. If they don't cross and they don't get what they need, and you've gotten all the things you need, stop talking. It is one of the hardest things we will ever do, but it's one of the smartest things you do. If you get the answers you needed out of your witness, and that cross-examination didn't mess up any of those answers, and even if it did, it really needed to kill it. And if it didn't kill answers one and two, and you got one, two, and maybe even three, walk away. Because if you don't, what's likely to happen is that somebody's going to say something and muddy the water just enough so that fact can't really be used. You can argue it, but then they got another witness that can only help you when they're talking. They can only hurt you when you're talking. You need better than 50-50 odds. So make sure your answers are what you're looking for and you get them. Direct examination is about the answers. Write down the questions if you want, but make sure at the end of the day that somebody has a sheet that says, because here's the other thing that happens. You have four, five, six witnesses. When you're the director of any film tells the story, right? That's who the director is telling. All right. So anybody here seen The Big Chill? Oh, my God, this is really sad. I'm not that old, but okay, apparently I am. All right, so there was a movie called The Big Chill. Kevin Costner was actually in that movie. The problem was the only part of Kevin Costner you saw in the entirety of the whole movie was his arm as they were pulling down the sleeve at the funeral home. He had no speaking role in the whole thing. He actually did, but all of his scenes were told in flashback. And because they were, they didn't really fit with all the action that was going on in the house that everybody was in as part of the movie. And so the director cut everything and left it on the courtroom floor. And so what happened was Kevin Costner is in the movie, but he's just got that one scene. It's just his arm. It's nothing else. That's all you see. Now, Lawrence Kasdan felt bad, so he wrote Silverado. If you haven't seen Silverado, you really need to see it because he wrote the character Jake, and that's what made Kevin Costner's career, if you ask me. Just go watch him play Jake in Silverado, you'll understand just how good he really was. He was much younger then, but it's a better story. But you're a director. You tell the story. But if you have witnesses, and you have witnesses who have facts that overlap, then pick which witnesses you need. And if you get one or two extra facts and they don't get contradicted, again, witnesses can only help you when they're talking. They can only hurt you when they're talking. If you find a witness has gotten all their facts covered up by other witnesses, don't put the witness on. Think about those things, because that's all about telling the story. All right. We get that. If you stick to the answers, you can do these things fairly easily. Coherent, spontaneous, compelling. You can make up questions on the spot because you know what answer you're trying to get to. If you've rehearsed your witness and you changed all the questions all the time, the witness gets used to hearing different questions, but knowing what answers the witness you're trying to get to. That's what you need the witness to know. What answers am I going to get is what you're trying to get the witness to tell you. All right, prepare your witness. Make sure you've gone to know why they were being asked at trial. Educate the witnesses on dress, demeanor, and courtroom procedures. I would always take my witnesses to the courtroom, have them walk through. Part of the reason I did that in Austin was because in Sparks courtroom, they had all those electrical plates in the floor. And I don't know how many times I watched people like stumble over the electrical plate. And you needed to walk through there just to be sure that you didn't do that. You guys think I'm kidding, but you know good and well, you stumbling over the plate and falling is not a good look. Just not a good look. Again, this case is really important to you, and you couldn't figure out where the electrical plate was in the floor, so how am I supposed to believe what you're talking about? Okay, you don't think people do that, but think again. Ensure witnesses know a general overview of the case so they can keep questions in perspective. Why is the person asking that question? If they know the case, right? And everybody can tell you what the first question you're going to ask the witness is. Did you meet with him? Yes. What did he tell you? Tell the truth.